This episode of The Family Gamers is brought to you by Date Night In. If you'd love to go on a date with your significant other, but you can't seem to put together the plans or the energy or the money or the babysitter, take the date home with you by getting a date night box from Date Night In. Just go to thefamilygamers.com/date night to see it for yourself.
And welcome to the Family Gamers Podcast.
This is actually episode number 51, which is great. It's an odd number, and that means that we have some friends on the show this week.
Yes. We have the Architects.
The Architects.
Of Tournament of Towers.
Yeah, this is a game that is on Kickstarter right now. It is by Iron Hippo Games, so we have the Architects of Tournament of Towers, the co-founders of Iron Hippo Games. We have Donovan and Jeff on the line. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
Super good.
I was going to let him go. He was going to let me go.
No, we should just talk at the same time. That'll go great. I think that's the way to do this.
We waited the beat, and then we're both like, well, he's going to let me go.
Well, you guys have now seen our pregame. we had a great time getting to know each other a little bit before we started the show up, but we are super excited to have you guys on. We have been playing Tournament of Towers at our house for the last week and a half or so, and it has been an absolute blast.
Yes.
Excellent.
So we've got you guys on because you're on Kickstarter. You've just funded on Kickstarter. You're about 10% over your funding goal, which is awesome. Congratulations.
Excellent.
So way
it's
less.
It's going to be a real game.
Yeah.
In fact, we just hit our first stretch goal, which was related to Facebook. We got over 450 likes. So now there will actually be a scoring pad that comes with the game.
Ooh,
you know, an official
space on it.
An official scoring pad.
All right. So for those who are listening who have never heard of Tournament of Towers, they now know they can score the game. But tell us what they're scoring. Tell us a little bit about the game.
So the best way I would describe it, Tournament of Towers is a tower building card drafting game where people are competitively building their own towers out of all kinds of different crazy shapes and sizes. And there are cards in the game that match each of the pieces, and you have to plan out your build order in each round in order to determine how you are going to be building your towers. The game's quick, easy to learn, great for families, great for kids, great for adults, you know, competitive game players. Donovan and I are kind of more like hardcore gamers, the type that like to play games for like 4 to 6 hours, you know, at a time. But, you know, for people that only want to play, you know, a half hour game or something, this satisfies that itch for both groups of people, we found.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that this is definitely one of those games that can work as a filler game, or if you're really into it, you like the style, it can definitely be the main event where you just play 4 or 5 games of it.
Right. So tell us the story of the kind of the backstory of the game.
All right. Well, those are kind of two different questions. So let me fire off one or the other. One is like, how did Iron Hippo come to be, which is a fun story on its own. And the other is, how did Tournament of Towers come to be?
So well, which one came first? Did the conversation around the game and then you decided to make a company come first, or did Iron Hippo become a thing and then Tournament of Towers came up?
Iron Hippo came first.
Yes, sir.
And so what happened was, gosh, this was like 4 or 5 years ago. I was engaged to a beautiful woman who I now call my wife, and we were doing our bachelor cruise. And my plan was, this is a get all the guys together in one place cruise, and we're going to make it a tournament of games. And I want to have some kind of cool, unique prize for this. So the prize is the winner gets to be the groomsman.
Wow.
The spare groomsman.
The spare groomsman.
He had one slot still to fill, so it was balanced between, you know, both, So he was like, all right, whoever wins at being the best friend becomes the extra groomsman, essentially.
Wow, and this is incredible. I'm already interested.
So we had probably 15 different games we played that weekend.
Yeah.
Everything from mini golf and ping pong to
a sealed deck magic tournament.
How did the scoring get planned for, like, because like sealed deck magic tournaments and mini golf are very difficult, like is one weighted higher than I have to know how this works.
No, it's this was a broke half lawn is what it was.
Okay, so each of sheer wins.
Yeah, well, not just necessarily wins, but rankings. So, you know, you get like top three or top four. I think it was top four would get point values, essentially. Okay. You know, so the one who wins the Magic tournament, because we had like eight people, basically, and so it was a sealed, you know, bracketed tournament. You know, whoever won the Magic tournament got 5 points. Runner-up would get three, you know, two and one, et cetera. You know, and then for ping pong, it was just, you know, same thing, bracketed tournament, whoever was the best at ping pong. Obviously, I was the best at ping pong, so you know that went really well. Then you know all the other games that we did. I mean, it was the same type of level. I tried to balance it out right. You know, Donovan had this idea. He was like, "Let's do some games," and I was like, "I'm gonna make this happen, Donovan. I'm gonna make this a real tournament for us." And I think that's when the light bulb went on for Donovan. He was like, "You know, I've always had an interest in designing games. I've been tinkering with and dabbling with designing games, but this guy, he's got some ideas too. I bet we could do some magic together." And I think that's what brought it all together for us.
I feel like he just went inside my head, spoke all my words, and then came back out, so I don't have anything more to say on that subject.
That's amazing. Fair enough. I mean, so the brocathlon was your idea, Donovan?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But Jeff took it and ran with it in a way that was way beyond what I expected. And that's when I was like, this guy's willing to put in, like, serious work to make a game fun. That's the kind of person I want to partner with when I do game design. So
that's astounding.
I had had some, like, real terrible game designs and a couple that were decent that I had been working on. But I had a new game design in mind, and that was where we started the company. That game still hasn't come out yet and is like a year or more of two.
Yeah. I mean, depending on what happens with Tournament of Towers, we may be so focused on that
maybe
a few years that, you know, might be hard for us to get away to get back to that game. But you know, we'll see.
But ultimately, we have another game or two that we would love to show the public. They're not necessarily family games, though, but one of the games that was in the Brocathlon was the Battle for the Boutonniere, as I like to call it.
The Battle for the Boutonniere, yes.
Wow, okay.
Was a game you may have heard of if you're like really into board games and dexterity ones in particular, called Bowsack. Have you ever heard of this game?
No.
I don't think I have.
1980s German dexterity game.
Laser cut wood pieces,
beautiful.
All kinds of different, like really beautiful, elegant pieces.
It was a gorgeous game, and this leads me into the second story of like how did you find, like where did Tournament of Towers come from? So I'm in Vegas because apparently all I do is debauch around all my stories.
It really sounds that way.
She comes back to Vegas somehow. Yes.
And I'm floating down the lazy river after all my friends have left me. They've gone on planes back home, and I'm closer to home and waiting for traffic to die. So I'm just running to this guy, and we start talking and find out we both have a love of board games. And he's like, "Hey, I've got this game back up in my room. You got to try it out. Like, let's go knock back some tequila and play board games in my hotel room."
And that's how, you know, the next Hangover movie started.
Actually, I really had a lot of fun with the game, even playing it two players. And it's, one of the things that had impressed upon me is just how unique the pieces were. The only dexterity game I think I had played before that was, like, maybe Jenga.
Yeah.
And, you know, that game becomes a snooze after a very short period of time. So what happened is Bowsack was a really great formation for a game. It had like really incredible pieces, and not anybody in the States knew about it. It I think it tanked as a game called Bandu when they transferred it over because they cheapified it to the point that it just was not cool anymore.
It didn't have the elegant personality that Bowsack originally did in terms of the pieces, the design of it, and then in terms of gameplay wise, it just was like super simplified. So
and so I will say the thing that after I had played this game a lot, like I bought Bowsack after getting home and played it with adults entirely, no kids at all. And what it impressed upon me after a long time was that the biggest problem with it was really an auction game, not a dexterity game. The core of the game was about trying to take all of the best pieces, the hardest, you know, the most interesting, hardest pieces, and make your opponents play them.
Yeah, and make your opponents play them. Delay, 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 spite, spite, spite. And that was the whole personality of the game.
And we have a friend named Joe McMahon in our group, and it was him that really got me thinking that there was a flaw in the game when I was watching this, because he would just take everything that came his way. He never wanted to bid away the hard pieces. He just wanted to figure out how he could build a really cool structure with it. And I'm like, your structures are beautiful, and that, like, at the end of the game, you want to take a picture of Joe's tower and Joe beside it, and you never want to take a picture of mine because I'm trying to win, and so I've just got this little
kind
of,
like, three pieces.
Yeah, dwarfy stump of a tower, yeah. And like, ha, I won, but my tower is terrible.
And Joe almost never won, also, yeah. Because he wasn't even trying to win. He just wanted to make something beautiful. You know, I think that's what we saw in the way that he played. So I think that was one area where Donovan really was, like, inspired to say, let's try to do something like that. Let's try to make a game like this that does something like that. When he approached me about that, I was like, that's a horrible idea. I hate dexterity games. I'm horrible at dexterity games. I don't want to design a dexterity game that is garbage. I don't want to talk about this. And then I thought about it a little bit more, and I was like, now, it'd be interesting to make one that I actually like. Maybe that's what we can focus on. Let's make a dexterity game. It's not about being good at it, necessarily. It's about, let's make a game that people love to play. Whether you win or not, you are making something that is interesting, and you are doing something that is fun. That's what I wanted to do. That was my approach that I wanted to take when we went into this. And it took off from there. It was pretty great.
Going back for just a moment, I will say that we made Bowsack into a drinking game for the purpose of the cruise.
Yes, for the cruise. And this time it also involved tequila. I guess you had such a good experience with it in Vegas when you first played the game. Yeah, I drank more to the Family Gamers, by the way.
Yeah, I was family just thinking, I'm like,
this is after the kids go to bed. This is after the kids go to bed.
The whole story, get back to it later.
Yeah, I had more tequila in a span of 60 minutes playing Bowsack than I have or ever will in my entire life.
There were at least three or four people that forfeited the next three or four Brocathlon games because they wanted so badly to win the Bowsack portion because that was the drinking event.
That was the true bro moment for some people. Yes.
So we have not actually played Tournament of Towers as a drinking game yet.
We've experimented with it. Well, I've experimented with it a little bit, but I mean, it's like there's so many ways to go with it. That hasn't been our focus. It's like, what? We wanted to make something that was, you know, a broad enough experience that everybody could enjoy it.
And that will continue to not be our focus for this podcast.
I'm entranced by this Brocathlon thing. Like,
don't forget game kids.
You can't go and get married again, but maybe you can talk one of your other guys into doing this.
This may be our next game, Donovan. You know, we design an official Brocathlon that people can use for their, you know, geeky bachelor parties, you know?
I like it.
So, back to Tournament of Towers. So, we actually talked about it a little bit today after one of our many, many playthroughs. And one of the things that I really think is interesting about this game is that there are so many different ways that you can play the game. There's kind of the vanilla method.
Which is the drafting and then... Build seven pieces, and then round two, draft again, and build seven more if you're right.
And then even at the end, you have a series of variants in here. But really, you know, thinking outside the box, there's a ton of different ways that you can take this game where you have the silver pieces, which are, you know, actually possible to build with. Which are
consistently possible to build.
And the gold pieces, which are like ridiculous to build with, and it almost becomes like this weird building system where you can just it's actually really fun to play this game with kids because like when I play this game, I'm like, okay, I need to build the tallest tower I can and wedge a couple of gold pieces in for extra points. Right, that's how I think.
Yeah,
but exactly like
that seems logical. Sure.
Yeah, exactly like you were talking about. I'm playing with my 6-year-old, and he's just kind of like, la, 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 this is cool. Look at this thing that I can do over here. And then I look
what
at it, and I'm
it
like, let me add this up, and you're winning. You know, and really, depending on how you want to change the rules to fit whatever you want it to fit, that it's a tremendously flexible game.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and I don't usually make plugs for other games, but when we were about 5-6 months into the development of this when Junkart came out, and I think that was one of the things that Junkart did so well was to create a whole bunch of different mini games. I think that what we got right was a little bit better was having a variety of really amazing pieces that take advantage of what 3D printing can do for you and that level of design. But I do appreciate that there are a lot of things you can do once you have the base of this game. I mean, that's how we ended up going from taking the kind of base idea of Bowsack and ending up with this game is you had to kind of get there in iterations, right? So first we were taking Bowsack pieces and taking pictures of them and turning them into cards and drafting them. And then eventually it was, okay, let's make our own designs for pieces and 3D print those. And we didn't own a 3D printer at that time, so paid for somebody on the outside to do it. And then from there, like, the next iteration was, let's get our own and start making even more pieces and more pieces. Yep. And honestly, we had, by the time we came up with the current game, we have twice as many gold pieces and twice as many stone pieces that, like, we never got to put in the game because it just was going to be too expensive. And so, yeah, we got our expansions waiting in the wings, in a sense. But
they've all been play-tested ad nauseum to make sure the pieces are durable enough, that you have enough variety.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's so many different interesting things you can do with 3D printing, and with plastic in particular, that you just can't do with wood. I mean, wood, you can get some elegant, like, you know, dense pieces that can be durable, but there's limitations on what you can do with it. And the pieces, they can be really slippery versus plastic. You can do all kinds of different textures to make them smoother or to make them, you know, more rough depending on what you want to do with it. So that's been a big thing that we've had a good time trying to figure out.
But going back to variations of the game, that was something that we talked about is it was kind of hard for us to settle down on what are the rules we're going to ultimately end up with and how many do we include? And as you can see, we added a couple variations. We've got the event die as a way to just play it a little differently. We've got a cooperative version of the game in there.
Solitaire version, even.
And there are so many more that can be added. And our feeling is once there's a community around this game, that's something we want to make public and post up on our site and say, hey, have you tried this version of it? Because you really were giving you the base materials to make something really cool, but that can play out a lot of different ways. But I think that we've done enough iterations that we're very comfortable that this way is one of the best ways that you can play it with the draft rules and with a two-round seven piece per system.
And the event die too. I mean, people that want to go with that. I mean, it adds another layer of variance and strategy that's just from the base game. We figure people can come up with some interesting ideas beyond what we've done. It's like, we want to inspire people to create with this. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to tell people there's only one way to play this game. Unless, of course, we're talking about, like, the Grand Prix for Tournament of Towers. You know, where everywhere around the world, you know, people have, like, pocket cam for, like, each of their cards, you know. And the commentators are like, oh, he got the Obsfeudernals. Is he going to pass it or is he? You know, that obviously will use the base rule set for the game that comes with the game. Right. But beyond that, we encourage people to, you know, go with whatever they think makes sense. Yes.
Big
dreams, guys. Big dreams.
The whist off of Tournament of Towers,
it's like the poker version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I like it.
Absolutely. Sunglasses required.
Yes,
absolutely,
definitely. We've played it enough to feel like we're starting to get the hang of it now. I think it should be said that the base rules that you include make this game really hard.
Yeah, this game is hard.
You do not expect a dexterity game to be this hard.
Right.
I mean, I will be honest. I played this game one time, and I played it more.
I hated it the first time.
After I played it once, I was like, this game. And I knew we had to, like, sit down and have this conversation in a week and a half. I was like, I don't even know what we're going to talk about because I hated this game. And then I played it again. And then I played it again.
Well, you've done our job. All right. We've ruined some people's lives. Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's really, it's grown on me tremendously. And a big part of that, and we were talking about this before we started actually recording, is very much the same kind of perspective as in the Lego Movie with Will Ferrell when he comes downstairs and he's like, no, this is the way that you're supposed to play with these games.
You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. And,
yeah, that's right.
And playing with our kids really kind of opened up the perspective of different ways in which that we could play this. And Donovan showed us a video of him playing with his son, which – perfectly encapsulated that idea, and I like that.
Adorable.
And that we're going to include a link to that in the review because it's worth it. Worth it.
Totally adorable.
To include. Very, very, very cute.
Excellent.
The thing is, like, we hated it the first time, but I don't know about you, but I found it really compelling. Even though I hated it, I was like,
yeah,
I can do better. I'm going to go back and play again.
Yes.
And then as I played it more, I started to really enjoy playing it and say, like, oh, well, how can I make this fit better? And, you know, what other ways could I use these pieces?
It is really fascinating to me to see the two kind of polar opposite mentalities that come into the game of the ones that are all the philosophy of the queen, right? They just want something that is sturdy and stable and is going to get to 14 pieces.
No matter what.
No matter what,
if they get no points, they don't care. Yeah. They just don't want their tower to fall, period. And some people play that way.
And then others are like, I want all the gold, baby. All I want is points all day long. I'm going to make it as tall as I can and make it all out of gold pieces. And it's like they flame out like Icarus. It's so beautiful to watch that realization that I can't take them all. I just can't. Yeah. I thought I would be better than this. But, what would you say is the – I gave them a number earlier, but what would you say is the percent failure rate that we aim for in this game with adults playing 7 and 7?
It depends on the group, but what I've found, at least, with people who've never played the game before, is that it can be anywhere from 50 to 75% success rate. So – but it depends. Some groups, and I've seen it where all four people, they are, you know, intelligent, you know, people who know how to do things, who, you know, even some actual architects.
Yeah, like we don't invite dumb people to play this.
she is an architect, and the first, like, three times she played this game, totally flamed out. You know, and she was determined to get it right. So even though she had lost, she was like, no, I got to keep working at this. And we're all trying to say, hey, we want to play again. And she's like, no. I got to figure this out this one time.
How to make it with the pieces I got. Yeah.
Right. So that's what I found. It was like 50 to 75% success rate, at least. So, yeah, like, the first time people play, half of them are going to fail. And to me, it's not about whether your tower survives or whether you win. It's about trying things. And the game goes fast enough that, you know, if you flame out even in the first round, I mean, if you have the wherewithal to try again, you can just get back into it again, you know? And I think seeing, you know, what your son did when, you know, he's playing and he makes mistakes, he's like, oh, oops, and then he tries again, you know? It's just that kind of mechanic and mentality that we can try to instill in people of all ages, I think, is a big plus in this game. I think that's one thing that we found. It's like, failing is okay, and in a sense, failing is encouraged in this game. You want to fail to figure out how to do it better, how to be better. If you take the – no offense to my mom. Mom, I love you. But if you take the route that my mom takes, which is I'm only going to take silver pieces. I'm going to try to build as tall as I can, but I don't want my tower to fall. I refuse to let my tower fall. If my tower falls, this game is no fun, and I don't want to play this game. I mean, if you take that approach, then, I mean, you're not going to learn. You're not going to grow. You're not going to adapt. And so after like 4 or 5 games of that, my mom figured that out. And so now she's like totally figured it out. It's pretty cool.
She found her inner editor.
Yes, she found her inner editor, yes, as she's that's true. Perfectionist to the nth degree.
So I'm curious, when you played with your kids, did you guys enforce the build order? Did they like having that, or did they kind of drop it out as a thing to play with?
We enforced the build order, but we were a little bit gentler on the, yes, you can shift your pieces a little bit. Oh, one piece fell down. All right, put it back in roughly the same spot. But no, I think, well, our older child, who's 8, she really appreciated the structure of, like, I have to think of what order I'm going to place these in. And, like, really think it through ahead of time. Our 6-year-old was kind of like, what do you mean I can't swap? But I put this one at the end, but it's going to fit much better here. And we're like, let's keep this fair for everybody here. That's the order you decided. Let's go with that.
Yeah, our first is very much a rule follower, which is, I guess, that's the normal first child thing. And
make sure everybody else follows the rules,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that too.
Duncan, did you find that as being the oldest, or...
No. And I can't say I see that quality in my oldest either.
I don't know.
Give him a couple of years.
I've been told that that's a thing.
I would say that is the typical scenario. That's what I have heard as well. Yes. So. Because I'm the second born. My brother, at least up to a certain point in his life, he's definitely like the follow the rules type of person. And I was more the experimentation, you know, fail as I go type of person. You know, yeah. I'm sure he would tell you the exact opposite. You know?
Sometimes it shows up as the oldest kid saying, like, you have to follow the rules. It doesn't really matter what I do, but right. you.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do. Enforcing it on other people.
Yeah.
You know, right. Yeah. So, but to that point, in terms of rules, one of the things that we have encouraged is that, yes, we have the rule book. Yes, we have ways that we think you should play the game. But if people aren't having fun with that, you know, have more mulligans. That's fine. You know, do whatever works for your group, you know, whatever, you know, level you feel you're at with playing the game, and just have fun. That's what we want. We want people to just have fun with the game, any way that works for them.
You're board game designers and you want people to have fun?
I know, what's wrong?
So weird.
Monstrous.
All right.
I think it's hard to design a game that really is for all ages because of that difficulty and making it fun at one age and still fun at another. And so it's one of the things I'm most proud of with the game is that scalability mechanic of mm-hmm. if you're playing with a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, you don't have to play with 7 cards per round. You can drop it down to 4 cards or 5 cards and see how they progress at that and then work their way up. Or you can, you know, drop out the build order or add more mulligans. There's a lot of ways you can just couch this game mm-hmm. to make it play at the level that they're at instead of trying to force them to be playing at an adult skill level when we've made it that at the adult skill level, 40 to 50% failure rate when you're first out of the gates learning this game. So
yeah.
Right.
That's very frustrating for a kid, especially right. when they just want to be building a tower. That's what you've sold them on. Let them build a tower.
Right.
Right.
The other scalability factor that we were happy to kind of eventually, you know, figure out was the fact that you can take multiple copies of the game and have an even larger group of people playing. So, I mean, you know, the base game is like 4 people, but you know, you have an extra copy of the game and you could have 8 people. You know, you got a big group, you got 3 copies, you could have 12 people. And you could have the same game or even a more interesting game because now you have duplicates of some gold pieces. Like, I played with some friends where they had the egg – they had 2 of the egg pieces and they had 2 of the little cup holder pieces. And so on one side of their base, they basically had these 2 Fabergé eggs in the front of their tower. And it's like you can't get that, you know. One version of the game, obviously, but, you know, with 2, it's like, it opens whole new doors of possibilities.
Well, one thing we talk about a lot over the course of the show, really, is this idea of rule shifting. And one of the difficult dynamics of having a family with multiple kids is you have, you know, we've got an 8, almost 9-year-old, and we have a 6-year-old. How do we let them play a game together? Obviously, they're at different ability levels, both in dexterity and in reasoning and things like that. How do we kind of balance these things out? And then how do we play a game where, like, as parents, as adults, we can play with them and not, you know, want to just pass out at the table because it's so boring. And,
right.
You know, and I mentioned before how this game is very much like a system and it lends itself very well to variance. You know, one thing that we have kind of talked about is, you know, what if gold points aren't or gold pieces aren't worth any more points, but adults have to use more of them than kids do. Right. Mm. So now I'm like, okay, so I've got 7 cards and 4 of mine have to be gold, and you've got 7 cards and only 2 of yours have to be gold.
Right.
Automatically makes it more difficult for me.
Yep.
And now we can sort of balance a little bit, and that's yeah. that's pretty fun.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty cool idea. You know, it's like almost a, like, battle of the ages factor, you know,
right.
that take into account. Yeah, it's like, if your child is developmentally at this level, we recommend this. You know, if your adult human is at this development, you know, it's all kinds of different things that can be done.
All right, so they are Donovan and Jeff, and their game is Tournament of Towers. You can find it right now on Kickstarter. The Kickstarter is going to be open for about another 2 weeks. Does that sound right?
Yep.
All right, and you can go to Kickstarter. If you go to thefamilygamers.com/Tournament of Towers, you'll see our review of the game, and there will be a link directly to the Kickstarter in there. The game is $49 on Kickstarter, and I don't know if that includes shipping or not, but I bet you guys do.
It does not include shipping.
Correct.
And sorry, it's a really heavy game. These pieces are making it hard to ship for less than $15. So bear with us. Hopefully one day we'll be able to get that down. But for those that are willing to take a chance and back it now, we really appreciate it and know that We feel your pain for the shipping.
Absolutely.
All right, so the game is $49 and then $15 shipping in, I guess, anywhere in the world, says? Probably
domestic,
in the U.S.
$15 shipping in the U.S.
That's domestic. That's for France. That's for Canada. And then there are some small uppers in Western Europe and some other places in the world. But, you know, we definitely calculated it as low as we possibly could. We are happy to work with people, honestly, if shipping to some unique place they want to get a copy of this game. We want to get this game into your hands. We know you will love it. We want you to play the game. So just reach out to us. You know, that's what we'd recommend. You can reach us through our website, ironhippo.com, or directly through the Kickstarter campaign. You know, what I would recommend is that if people want to stay informed about the Kickstarter and, you know, they're struggling to come up with the funds, you know, pledge $1. You know, you pledge $1, you're going to get updates from us. You can reach out to us directly, and, you know, we can work with you to figure out a way to get you as many copies of the game as possible.
And we have, like, some potentially really cool news coming down the pipeline within the next 6 months, 9 months, a year. So I would recommend, if you liked the sound of this game at all, do that so we can keep you informed, because there may be some cool things we get to announce later that you wouldn't find out about otherwise for a while.
Truth.
Cool.
Right. So the game is Tournament of Towers. It's quick and easy to learn. It takes about 5 minutes to figure out how to play. It's a really straightforward dexterity game. You can really play with all ages. It takes about a half an hour to play. In the box, you get enough stuff to play with up to four people.
Yes.
And $49 for the game, $15 shipping, comes out to about $64 for domestic. Everything included in the game. It is already funded on Kickstarter, but there are some great stretch goals that are still available. So definitely check it out, familygamers.com/Tournament of Towers. So thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you. Our pleasure.